Thanks to First Command for supporting this episode of the MillSpouse Matters podcast. Visit firstcommand.com to learn more about free financial coaching, as well as information about military spouse careers. Welcome to MillSpouse Matters, the podcast dedicated to encouraging military spouses. I'm Jen McDonald, and I was a military spouse for nearly 30 years until my husband's retirement. I'm also now the mom of an active duty son, a longtime writer for the military spouse world, and the author of the book, You Are Not Alone, Encouragement for the Heart of a Military Spouse. I created this podcast to bring you inspiration as you navigate your own military life, which can be amazing while also challenging. Whether you're dealing with a move, deployment, raising military kids, keeping your military marriage strong, or employment issues, we're going to talk about it. Military spouses, we're only stronger together. My goal is to bring you realistic hope and support for your own MillSpouse journey. Hello, and welcome to episode 40 of MillSpouse Matters. I'm Jen, and I'm so glad you're joining me today. Just a quick note before we get into today's topic. Coming up, there are going to be two pretty extensive PCS resource episodes for you coming in June, and as well a really big list of a lot of great info and resources for your move, whether it's on hold or you're about to move or you may be moving later or just know somebody that can use it. So be looking out for that in the coming weeks. Remember, you can always find the complete show archive and more resources at millspousematters.com. Stay engaged with other listeners and with me on Instagram at millspousematters. And also at the site, millspousematters.com, you can download a free 5-day deployment devotional and find other resources for your military life. There is a Christian Military Spouses Facebook group. Just do a search for that. Answer several questions, and we'll get you right in. And as always, these will be linked in the show notes. So today, I thought I would do an episode honoring Memorial Day. For most Americans, Memorial Day commemorates the end of the school year and the beginning of summer. For most of us, it means backyard barbecues, going to the beach or the pool, or just hanging out. And I'll be honest, with everything going on with COVID-19 and the continued quarantines and the slow reopenings, Memorial Day has kind of snuck up on me this year because every day sort of seems the same. I think it's a good time for us to think about the true meaning of Memorial Day, and I wanted to talk about it here on the podcast. So, what is Memorial Day? Here is a little bit of background info, including some from history.com. So, Memorial Day is an American holiday observed on the last Monday of May, and it honors the men and women who died while serving in the U.S. military. I feel like military families probably know that. A lot of people get it confused with Veterans Day, which honors veterans and current service members, but Memorial Day is to honor those who have given their lives. This year it occurs on Monday, May 25th. It was initially known as Decoration Day, and it originated in the years following the Civil War. It didn't become an official federal holiday until 1971. These days, many Americans observe Memorial Day by visiting cemeteries or memorials, holding family gatherings, and participating in parades, probably not so much this year. During this Memorial Day weekend, if you see a family member wearing a gold star, signifying they've lost a loved one in military service, take a moment to thank them for their sacrifice. Did you know that each year on Memorial Day, a national moment of remembrance takes place at 3 o'clock p.m. wherever you are? So on the first Decoration Day, General James Garfield, who would later become President James Garfield, made a speech at Arlington National Cemetery, and 5,000 participants decorated the graves of the 20,000 Union and Confederate soldiers buried there. Some people wear a red poppy in remembrance of those who've fallen in war, and that tradition actually began with a World War I poem. From 1914 to 1918, World War I took a greater human toll than any previous conflict, with some 8.5 million soldiers dead of battlefield injuries or disease. The Great War, as it was then known, also ravaged the landscape of Western Europe, where most of the fiercest fighting took place. From the devastated landscape of the battlefields, the red poppy would grow and, thanks to a famous poem, became a powerful symbol of remembrance. Lieutenant Colonel John McCrae, a Canadian who served as a brigade surgeon for an Allied artillery unit, spotted a cluster of poppies that spring, shortly after a battle. McCrae tended to the wounded and got a first-hand look at the carnage of that clash in which had been unleashed lethal chlorine gas for the first time in the war. Some 87,000 Allied soldiers were killed, wounded, or went missing in the battle, as well as 37,000 on the German side. A friend of McCrae's, Lieutenant Alexis Helmer, was among the dead. Struck by the sight of bright red blooms on broken ground, McCrae wrote a poem in Flanders Field in which he channeled the voice of the fallen soldiers buried under those hardy poppies. Published in Punch magazine in late 1915, the poem would be used at countless memorial ceremonies and become one of the most famous works of art to emerge from the Great War. You may have heard it. As a matter of fact, I remember memorizing this poem when I was in school, and I thought I would read it to you today. So it's called In Flanders Field by John McCrae. In Flanders fields the poppies blow, between the crosses row on row that mark our place. And in the sky the larks, still bravely singing, fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you, from failing hands, we throw the torch. Be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders fields. Today, we are still a nation at war, even though it seems many people have forgotten. In fact, the war in Afghanistan is the longest war in American history. It has outlasted the Civil War, Spanish-American War, World War I, World War II, and Korean War combined. To date, we've lost over 7,000 service members in Iraq and Afghanistan. And today, if you're listening and your spouse is deployed, please know that you're in my thoughts. In this unprecedented time in our country, many of us are taking an even closer look at our personal finances. A global pandemic is new to us all, but First Command has experience coaching military families through the most volatile times. There are steps you can take now to organize your financial life, and First Command is ready to help. Visit firstcommand.com/get-started to learn more. So, I'm currently writing a book about the stories of military spouses, both old and new, including many widows whose husbands served in the Korean and Vietnam era conflicts. This next part is an excerpt from my upcoming book that I thought I'd share with you. The transcript of this reading will be posted at One Without Words, WON. So you can read it there if you'd like, and I will let you know where to find that. Over 10,000 service members dead. 10,489 to be exact. As I gazed across endless fields dotted with precise rows of grave markers, I choked back a sob. My husband looked at me. It wasn't like I knew any of the dead or was related in some way. But still, each grave signified someone's husband, son, brother, grandchild, uncle, cousin, friend. I could barely take in this visual reminder of the loss of life. We were attending the 2009 Memorial Day ceremonies at the Lorraine American Cemetery in Saint-Avold, France, where the largest number of American service members killed in Europe during World War II have been laid to rest. My husband and other military members from the base where we were stationed in Germany had been asked to represent the current American military. Under the midday, looming gray skies that threatened rain, my husband and I had just arrived after taking several wrong turns on our drive through the small French villages along the way. Now, we attempted to get ourselves in hand before we were seated with the official party. He straightening the jacket of his service dress, replete with ribbons denoting over 25 years of an Air Force career, and me fumbling to pry open a stubborn umbrella over my suit jacket and freshly sprayed hair. The day hadn't been a smooth one so far. Due at the services by noon, I'd taken the better part of the morning to hunt through my collection of momwear for appropriate clothing, settling on a rarely worn matching suit jacket and skirt. When I realized my only pair of hose had a rip in them, I'd switched to pants, which put us even further behind. Then we'd gotten a little lost as we followed the penciled directions to the cemetery. Distracted by our lateness and worried at being late for a commemoration put on by our allies and neighbors, we arrived at the cemetery nestled beside the sleepy French town and swung into an empty spot in the packed parking lot. Breathless, we strode up the hill to where we could see the crowd gathering. Well, as fast as people can rush when they're in military service dress, him, and not often worn high heels, me. The thought crossed my mind that it seemed a bit humid to be outdoors in that type of attire, and I was already looking forward to plans later that day that didn't involve dressing up. We hurried around the corner of a low stone wall and came face to face with rolling hills that flanked fields upon fields of our countrymen slumbering beneath the green sod. Thoughts of messed up hairdos, arriving late, even future plans fell away. We both took in the scene for a moment, the need for hurry forgotten. On each grave fluttered two small flags, one American and one French, placed there earlier by school children. As we were seated for the ceremony, I couldn't take my eyes off the gleaming rows of marble crosses and Stars of David. Each one was someone, not a number. As a military spouse, one of my greatest nightmares was the thought of losing my own husband to war. And yet here the earth offered up a stark reminder of what had happened so many years before, pleading that we not forget this loss. Etched on the chapel wall at the Lorraine Cemetery are the words, "Here we and all who shall hereafter live in freedom will be reminded that to these men and their comrades we owe a debt to be paid. With grateful remembrance of their sacrifice, and with high resolve that the cause for which they died shall live." The cause for which they died shall live. Trite words? To those whose family members lie under the ground in Lorraine, I'm certain they are full of meaning. To the other hundreds of thousands of families who've received the knock at the door, a call, or a telegram with the worst news possible that their loved one is the latest casualty, it means everything. To those of us left behind is assigned the task of remembering to not let their sacrifice be forgotten, to resolve to live in freedom. But what does that look like? I won't be fighting in any wars soon. How can I take the emotions and thoughts that struck me so strongly that day and apply them to my own life? How exactly do I live in freedom? How do I really live? I can advocate for those who are weaker. Most of the dead buried at Lorraine died while driving Nazi forces away from the city of Metz, France. They died defending those who needed help and who were unable to defeat the enemy alone. In my life, at home, church, work, even out and about running errands, I can keep my eyes open for someone else who could use a defender, whether it's real defense, an actual safe place, or something as small as an encouraging word or a smile. Lord, keep my eyes open to those who could use the strength of someone else to lean on for a time. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says, "We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone." I can walk in truth and strength without fear. No apologies. Setting boundaries is important, as is keeping the enemy from my doorstep. I may not be fighting a physical enemy, but this one is real too. Knowing that I'm on the right side gives me strength to guard my thoughts, control what I allow in front of my eyes, or even what I listen to or what I choose to speak out loud. I also know that I cannot let my guard down, for the enemy would love to find an easy way in and cause destruction. It's a constant battle. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." I can love without hesitation. Life is short. We all say that without thought. Yet seeing the grave inscriptions at the Lorraine American Cemetery was a jolting reminder of how young most of the soldiers are who are buried there. They had lives, fiancés, wives, children back home. I'm certain most of them thought they had years in front of them, had made plans for when they would return home, and expected to live out their days. The hard truth, we all know that we're dying, but none of us live like we believe it, is something that comes to mind. None of us are guaranteed another tomorrow, so I will take the time to let those around me know how important they are to me and never let an opportunity pass when I could say, I love you. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. After that day at the Lorraine Cemetery, I of course went back to my regular life and got too quickly caught up in daily checklists, meetings, and the hundreds of little worries and tasks that make up any day. But every so often, I would stop and remember. I'd remember the sacrifice, remember what they'd given, remember their families who had to learn to carry on without the ones they loved. And with my husband having served on active duty and now our oldest son, we see firsthand what that life is like for the families left behind and are well aware of the sacrifices that continue to be made by our military, the lives forever changed, the bodies scarred, the hearts forever altered. But even now, years later, thrums the reminder, the cause for which they died shall live. I will live. Thank you for listening, and thank you, military and families, for your continued sacrifices, especially our Gold Star families. Thanks for listening to the MilSpouse Matters podcast. Connect with me at MilSpouseMatters.com or on social media as @MilSpouseMatters. You can find my book, You Are Not Alone, Encouragement for the Heart of a Military Spouse, on Amazon and other booksellers. Love the show? Please leave a 5-star review in whatever podcast player you're listening, and then share it with someone else who could use it too. Until next time, have a great week.